Okay, so we're gonna start off with our gathering prayer, okay, as we do every morning or every evening even. I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. I remember Alistair and
Johnny.
Okay, big round of applause for Alistair and Johnny. Okay, Johnny, do you want to lead the first bit in the light typeface? Okay, spit some bars for us, and we'll follow you. Alistair's going to lead us in the bit that we're all joining in.
Wake us up, God, wake us up.
Wake us up
so that we're fully alive to you and creation.
Set us free, God, set us free.
Set us free from what holds us back so that we can find you.
We're made in your image, God.
We are beautiful, capable of greatness, and connected to you. Give us your rest.
We're also made from the dust of the earth. We get tired sometimes and break down.
Help us stay in touching distance of your creation. Give us your rest.
Jesus calls to also all weary and crying, carrying heavy burdens. He says, come to me and rest.
Lead us in the way of Sabbath rest. Thank you both. Big round of applause. Okay. So, we're going to move pretty quickly through the practice check-in because I know that you all had a chance to talk about that in, what is it called, Letting Time? Letting Lounge. Even better. Okay. So, this is our practice check-in. So, remember, I'll just try and stay still. I won't move my... rest of my body. Okay, so, remember, we don't just change by being zapped. We have to do something to participate with God's Holy Spirit. We can't change without the Holy Spirit. We need God. We ask God to come and help us change. And then we actually have to do stuff about it. And that's what we've been doing. So this is why we do the practice check-in, because we say, God, you're in the process of transforming me. But just to let you know that I'm in as well, that I want to be changed, I'm actually going to start doing stuff to participate with what you're doing in my life. So this is why we do the practice check-in. So some of these questions you've already thought about. But I'd love to get some feedback from the groups if people are willing. We've got a mic and Joshua, isn't it? Is that right? Woo! All right, can you be my roving mic man? You carry the mic to people who... So anyone who's willing to share about, how was it for you without your phone? We've got Alistair at the back. Who else? Ben, I see that hand. Thank you. All right. Iona.
For me, it was really relaxing, and I felt I socialized a lot more with people because I kind of not had to, but there wasn't anything for me to distract me from it, and I generally felt happier. Did feel happier.
Wow. Amazing.
When you don't have your phone, you're not constantly checking up on other people's lives and comparing yourselves to what other people are doing. Personally, I think what we're doing here is it sounds cringe, but really good. And not comparing myself to what other people are doing or were doing is sort of freeing, because we can focus on God. I don't really know.
Mm. Wow, thank you so much. We'll try and get round to other people. Just keep your hand up if you want to say something. We'd love to hear from as many as possible. Alistair.
So, yeah, okay. So, yeah, every morning I used to, check on my phone and, go through Instagram or Snapchat, and there's, a bunch of guys who are, a lot better looking than me, and I used to put myself really down about that, and I haven't checked it today. And I feel a lot happier. I don't feel sad at all. And I just feel a lot better today. And so it's such a great feeling. I actually feel happy, truly happy for once.
Wow. Thank you very much.
So I actually slept really well last night, because normally when I'm just getting ready for bed, I'm on my phone and the light is keeping me awake. And also during the day, I was really social with people, and I didn't go to check my phone once. and it was really weird because I was expecting to go and check and be like, oh, I handed it in. But it was really weird. I was felt really social.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? We've got Ione. Did you still want to say something? No, you don't have to. Okay, so if we do Ione and then Joe and then Megan and then the two on the sofa, and then we'll have to wrap it up there. But I just want to hear from as many people as possible.
Like, before I did it, like, I didn't think I would, like need my phone because I have, like, a call and text phone, so it's, like, not the best phone in the world. But I've actually really missed texting my mum because I was, like, really worried that, like, something's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so some of us, like, it may have had some, like, positive and negative effects if we're, like, worried. That's, like, maybe the fear of missing out as well. Like, we worry what's happening if we haven't got our phones. Yeah, Joe?
I don't really use my phone that often because it gets taken away from me at night. But not having it for the whole day has kind of been like a relaxing feeling because you're not constantly like, oh, what's the time? Oh, notification, Snapchat. And it's not always... it's not always good looking at all of these because once you see one of them, you're like, oh, let's go to the next one. And then you find yourself being on it for a longer time than you were supposed to be. But not having a phone, then you get to experience other things. You get to do other things that you wouldn't normally do when you've got your phone on you.
Wow.
So yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's giving me energy.
Yeah. More energy. Okay. Let's Megan and then little blow landed for the parents there.
Yeah.
Bang!
No, the practicalities of actually not having to be like, oh, where did I put my phone down now? Like, where's it gone? Like, constantly, is it in my pocket? Did I put it down somewhere? Not having to worry about where you've put it as well is quite nice because it's like one less thing to worry about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, it's just nice to not have to be stressing about another thing where have I put it, where I'm making sure you have it all the time.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, we'll do quickly and then...
So I had to sort of get mine back because I was going to do something in the talent show with it, but I'm not doing that anymore. But I got it back, and I was quite worried because I realised that I got a text from my boss this morning. So actually not having it was quite a bad thing for me because it was something... He was asking me if I could cover a shift, like, today, and obviously I can't. But, it was quite worrying because I saw it was from my boss, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Life goals, text from the boss.
We found it quite hard because in the morning we woke up and it was 1 minute to breakfast, so we literally had to like.
No alarm.
Yeah, and there was no alarm, so we were just like panic. So yeah.
Yeah, so it could be tricky from that point of view. Okay, right. Thanks. We'll leave it there. Thank you, Joshua. And like I had a bit of the same thing when I was doing the experiment too, and Matt and I had to pop to Tesco's, and then when we got out of the car. I was like, okay, got my keys, locked the car. Oh no, forgot my phone. Where's my phone? And then I was like, oh yeah, I don't need my phone today. And it's like, it's funny, isn't it? That's like one thing. I don't know if you're like me. I'm always like, pat my pockets to check for my phone. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got my phone, that's all right. And like, so then it kind of made me feel a bit like, oh no, I haven't got my phone. Okay, so thank you so much for participating in that. And we can hear like, hey, this is real life. So, like, for some of us, it was more difficult. Some people, like, were like, oh, actually, it wasn't that great for me. It made me worried about what I was missing out on. I missed a text that might have been important. But actually, for a lot of us, this was a real liberating experience. And a few of our early contributors there just talked about how free they felt. And wasn't that one of the things we were saying to Jesus? Like, actually, we want to experience that freedom. And sometimes taking a little practical step like we've done together. Like, for me personally, I would have found that harder to do if we weren't all doing it together. And so that's really kept me today. Like, I'm like, okay, when I've been tempted to go and find my phone, I've been like, no, we're doing this together. It's important that we stick it through and we see it out. And so you guys have really helped me in doing that together. Okay, so we'll move on to our invitation. So this is the part where we're going to think about a new idea. If you're taking notes, then this is like the third one. I just want to give you, I know that like you might have tried one or two of the experiments that we've been doing, and you might sort of think to yourself, I would like to create some of my own experiments. And so I'm going to give you a couple of ways of thinking about stuff that may help you to create experiments where you can try out stuff that Jesus said or stuff how Jesus lived. And I'm going to introduce two words to you, abstinence and engagement, okay? And these are two different ways of approaching experiments. And we've done two experiments so far that are on the abstinence end of things. And abstinence is when we stop doing something, okay, or we don't do something. So you might hear it referred to in like people having abstinence month from alcohol, okay? So that means you don't drink. Ben's been doing that this month to raise money for charity. So little, if anyone wants to donate some copper coins to Ben's fund, then it's a worthy cause. And so abstinence is useful anytime we want to gain greater control in our lives or we want to stop doing something. So some of us maybe have an unhealthy Instagram habit, or some of us maybe have an unhealthy browsing habit. We look at stuff on the internet that we don't want to look at or we shouldn't be looking at. And so that is something that we need to abstain from. Now, if you want to lift a really heavy weight, you don't start with the heavy weight, do you? So for some of you, like, going cold turkey on Instagram is going to be a bit too much. You know, maybe coming off Instagram is going to be too much, or maybe never looking at pornography again. That's like a pretty big step for some of us, okay? So maybe if you think about it like weightlifting, if you want to learn to lift the heavy weights, you start on the light ones, okay? You start lifting like the 2 kilogram ones. Try not to pop a hernia, and then you like maybe after a few weeks of doing that, maybe you're like, I'm ready to try the 5 kgs, okay? And then you like maybe start lifting the 5 kgs. And then you look at someone like Ben and you see he's like lifting 200, not even breaking sweat. So I gave you 200 kilograms. I mean, that's like a car. All right. So we start small. We start like, if we want to like gain more control of our mobile phone use, we give up our phones for 24 hours. And there's something about that. You know, like athletes, if you're training for the Olympics, you might do weightlifting even if your sport is gymnastics. Because actually the strength you build in the gym is the strength that you can use on the mats. Does that make sense? So if I'm trying to like gain better control over what I look at on the internet or whether I go on Instagram every day, it might be that I never want to go on Instagram again, but I just want to be able to control it, then I'm going to maybe do an abstinence experiment where I'm going to stop doing something. And you can stop doing anything. Like you could say, if you drink Coca-Cola every day, you might say, I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola for a week. But that like that gives you more power to say no to stuff that you want to say no to. Does that make sense? Everyone with me on that? The other one, and these second two experiments that we're going to do are about engagement. Because Jesus isn't just about saying to us, stop doing that, don't do that, no more of that. Like, that kind of stuff is sometimes how people see religion and how people see what Jesus says. But actually, Jesus doesn't only want us to stop doing the things that harm us, but he also wants us to choose the things that give us life. And those are experiments of engagement. So that's when we actually do something. And we're going to do a couple of those experiments over the next 24 hours. Where we can actually do something to experience life. Okay? So these experiments, whilst the two that we've done should feel quite good, I'm hoping that these ones will feel even better. Because these are like more positive. These are us moving towards life rather than moving away from things that harm us or bring like death to us. Okay, everyone with me on those two concepts? Okay, great. So those are ways we can, and you can remember, you can stop doing anything or you can start doing anything, because we're increasing our power to stop what we don't want to do. We're increasing our power to start doing stuff that we do want to do. Okay, so those two ideas. So rest is about resting from stuff and resting to stuff, and so yeah, this experiment is about engagement. And our world is jam-packed with beauty. There's beauty all around us, beauty in creation. And if we're not careful, we may not notice how common beauty is. We're conditioned to think about beauty as something that's rare, something that, oh, hey, look at this massive diamond. It's the world's biggest diamond. And we're like, oh, my goodness, that's beautiful. But actually, what about a leaf on the floor? It's so common that we've forgotten how beautiful leaves are. A few of you I know were picking up stones as you're like the thing you brought brought to the thing today. Like, there are so many stones around. Like, we forget that there's beauty in stones. And that may sound crazy, but what if God's placed beauty in that kind of stuff? What kind of stuff are you and I moving too fast to notice? Maybe like a squirrel burying the last of the summer fruits ready for winter. Like, there's something amazing about that, but most of the time we see squirrels every day. It's not even an exciting thing to us. But like, that's one of God's creations that is preparing for the future, and there's a great lesson to us in that. What about the smell of the outside? Like, sometimes just we don't even notice what the outside smells like anymore because we smell it all the time, and sometimes we forget to just go and breathe in the air. Fill our lungs with the air that's all around us. And like, it's so common, we forget that it's beautiful. We forget that it smells amazing. What about like sniffing a flower? Those kind of things are like, you know, we see so many flowers, we see so many plants that we forget to smell stuff and touch stuff and feel what it feels like. We spend so much time like holding these bits of digital kit, don't we? That actually we forget to like touch living stuff around us. And as we take a bit of a break this week, and as we unplug from technology a bit, as we take a bit of a break over half term from the endless cycle of like lessons and homework, and I know some of us have still got homework to do, maybe there's a chance for you and I to connect with the earth. Maybe there's a chance for us to connect with something that God's made in a new way. Because creation is calling out. Can you hear it? Are you willing to stop long enough to hear the earth and the plants talking to you? I don't mean in a weird kind of like way where you actually think the grass is saying stuff to you, but like in a way where you can feel like something about the Creator is speaking back to you from the earth. And here's the incredible thing, that the person who created that is also calling to you and to me. And he's saying, come and rest. I love you. Will you take a moment to notice that I am calling your name every day and you are moving too fast, your earphones are plugged in, your music's turned up loud, and you're walking too quickly to hear me. You're moving too fast through relationships to hear me. You're moving too quickly through online chat rooms and game levels on your computer to hear me. Not that God's saying that any of that stuff is bad, but I think this week God wants to say to you and to me, slow down and listen out for me. Like, there's plenty of life to enjoy, but you've already got enough life to enjoy right now. You've already got enough. You don't need to move on to it. You don't need to run after it because you've already got enough right now. And if you move slow enough, you can hear God's voice calling to you. Because he wants you to come and rest with him. That's why Jesus' words that we've been thinking about all this week, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and rest. Slow down. Hear my voice. So, I'm going to introduce you to a little club. It's called Slow Club. I'm going to put on a video where a guy's going to talk about Slow Club, because he does it much, much better than I do, and it's his story, so I'm going to let him tell it. And then it's going to be over to you to do a bit of thinking about it, okay? So I'm going to stick this video on and see what you think.
The soul is that place in you that is in constant wonder. Constant wonder. While we walk by, you know, the only thing that really grabs our attention in the moment, I've noticed, is our cell phones, our text messaging machines. On the way out here, there was a guy who ran late to the plane. Everybody was on the plane. They were getting ready to close the door. This guy comes running in. He's got two bags. He's not going to find any overhead compartment, but he's going to check every door, of course. And he's coming down the plane, and he's going, "I can't believe I made it." And the steward is saying, you got to find a seat. All of a sudden, his phone rings. And he stops everything. The whole plane is waiting for him to sit down to get to this phone. Right? And who calls you on the phone? People who are bored. People who are driving in their car. Nothing to do. "Hey, what are you doing?" And you could tell this is one of the guys who called him. He's going, "Yeah. Oh, well, I'm trying to get on a plane right now." And this woman comes up and says, "Can I help you?" And he says, "Yeah." And she grabs his phone and shuts it. She says, "Go find your seat." This guy was like stunned. And everybody, just like here, applauded. Not just for him, but for all those people who have nothing to do, who call us at the wrong time. And I wish we were as attentive as we are to our phones. I wish we were as attentive to wonder, to the 10,000 miracles that we pass each day of our lives. The beauty of the sky, the wonder of children, these babies who are here among us with these faces. They're so present, so fresh from God. The warmth of friendship, the intimacy of family, good food to eat, coffee, all these things, right? And we hurry past them. But the soul's in constant wonder. My son, Joseph, when he was 4 years old, my older son was six, I was in charge of getting ready to school and taking him to school in the morning. So they would, I would get up and we'd kind of do this hustle where I'm getting their shoes on and they're taking them off, then I'm putting them back on, and then they're throwing them around the room, and I'm trying to keep them on them, duct taping them back on to the ankles, and getting their backpacks ready, making the lunches. "Come on, guys, we got to get ready to school." And the deal was that I would walk them to school, and then after I dropped them off at this little preschool, I would walk to work. So I had to get them there so I could get to work on time. And so I'm hurrying up and I'm getting them going. And when we would get out the door, my older son, Noah, he's a little bit more like me. He's a little wired. And so he would start running and I'd start running. I'd say, "Come on, Joseph, let's go." And my younger son, Joseph, 4 years old, would just walk like this. And I'd say, "Joseph, come on, man, we got to hurry. I got to get to work. We got to get you to school. Come on, buddy." And he would walk. And as he was walking, he would always start, stop and go, "Dad, look at this bark." "Yeah, there's a whole block full of bark chips, Joseph. I'm not going to stop and look at that right now. But Dad, this is a cool one. No, put it down." A few more steps, you know. "Hey, Dad, somebody threw a yogurt cup in here. This is cool. I could use this for a pirate mug." "Joseph, throw that back in there. We're not using old yogurt cups for a mug." And he would try to hide it in his jacket or shirt. "And I'm keeping the pirate mug. I'm not throwing that back in the bushes." You know, so he's collecting these things. To this day, he goes back. We have an alley behind our house, and there's college kids back there, and they flip beer caps into the alley. And Joseph, to this day, goes out and collects all these things like they're Spanish doubloons. And he hides them under his bed till it smells like 10 alcoholics live in his bedroom. I have to go and take these things out and disappear them. But this is Joe. He's, "I don't know what happened to all the beer caps. There's fairies who live under my bed and take them. I don't know." But this was the struggle we had. He would walk and he would stop at all these things he'd want to look at. And I was always, eventually I'd pick him up and hold him on my shoulder and run and drop him off and get there. Well, one night we're having dinner. Joseph's sitting at the table, the rest of us, and we're eating dinner. And Joseph says, "I started a club today." And we say, "Oh, really? You started a club? What's your club?" He said, "Oh, it's called a slow club." And he said, "I'm the president." I said, "Oh, is other kids in your club?" Or "No, it's just me." You know, this is the moment where my wife looks at me to say, "This is for you." And I said, "Well, what do you do in slow club?" And he says, "We have two rules. No running and no hurrying." So I say, "Okay."
So we kind of talk about this a little bit. We have dinner, we do bedtime. Next morning I get up, I'm doing the hustle, getting their shoes on, getting their clothes on, get the backpacks packed, getting everything ready. We go outside the door, say, no, we got to get there. We got to hurry up and get to a school, run a little bit late. Noah takes off running, I'm getting ready to run. I say, Joseph, come on, we got to go. And Joseph goes, he's walking like this. I say, Joseph, we got to hurry. He goes, Dad, I'm in slow club. I can't run and I can't hurry. And so for the rest of that morning, I'm walking like this. You know, just incredibly constipated. Just, I can't believe this. To walk like this because he's president. And so for the rest of that year, he would ask, anytime people came over to our house or kids or whatever, he would ask them, do you want to join my club? And he'd had us write out his little charter, and nobody could agree to be in the club. Because nobody could honestly promise to follow these two rules. So the next summer, I'm leading a camp up in Washington, and Joseph's with me, and he wakes up in the morning. He says, Dad, would you like a one-day pass to slow club? I had to think about it. And I finally said, okay, I'll do this. And so takes his colors out, and he makes me a little one-day pass, and I keep this thing. And so we are kind of hanging out for the day, and it's not too bad. And lunchtime, we're out. We're watching some kids playing Ultimate Frisbee, and they're out in this field, and they're playing. We're watching them. And the lunch bell rings, and it's one of these lunches where, like, they only got so much hot food. You know, it's like one chicken leg per every 2.3 people. And then it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, on the... And so as soon as I hear that lunch thing, right, I say to Joseph, I say, we got to run. We got to hurry because there's going to be a big line. All these kids are going to be there. Come on, that's the lunch bell. Let's get going. And Joseph says, Dad, you're in slow club now. We don't run. And so we walk like this while all these teenagers are running, all the adult counselors are running, the program people, 85-year-olds in walkers are coming by us. We're just moving like this. And he can see I'm a little bit downhearted, and he says, Dad, look around, and you're going to notice stuff that other people didn't see, that they ran by. So we're looking around, and sure enough, we see two jackrabbits. And I say, hey, there's two rabbits. He goes, yeah. He says, now, Dad, the other people didn't see those. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So we walk a little further, and we see these lupin flowers, and we see different butterflies. We see this group of lizards on a rock sunning themselves, and I'm getting kind of excited. And we have lunch, and my wife's there, and my other son's there, and Joseph's like, Dad, tell Mom what you saw. And I'm telling her about all these things, and he's just sitting there. And I realized that Joseph is trying to help me recover something I knew but have lost. You see, we're trained to no longer see the presence of God in the world. We're trained to always focus on the end goal instead of the journey in getting there. We're trained to no longer allow ourselves to fall back and wonder at the night sky, to sit there gazing on the beauty of this world. We're trained to sort of lose it, and we start to go numb. Well, the soul is that place in us that's in constant wonder. Even while we scurry on, living in our minds that are analyzing and criticizing and organizing and anxious, our soul still sits back in awe and wonder.
Okay, so what rules for slow club? Did anyone come up with anything different? Yes. No technology. What, at all? And you want to be in slow club all the time? Okay. Ready to get rid of technology, yeah. Yeah, sit outside for 5 minutes a day. Yeah, Daniel. Don't get into arguments. Listen, yeah. Alistair, back. Okay, that sounds like fast club. That's the fast lane at the airport, isn't it? Yes. Stop and listen and look, yeah. And isn't it funny that for you as young people, when you're told to stop and listen, it's probably usually when you're in trouble, right? But like, what if you chose to stop and listen? Like, what if you stopped and listened because you're free to stop and listen rather than because someone's going to give you a lecture about something you shouldn't have done? Yes. Eat slowly, yeah. Samuel and I were talking at dinner time. Apparently, you're supposed to chew every mouthful of food at least 15 times to break it down enough for your body to digest it. And so that's like, you can't eat fast if you do that. Yes, did you have your hand up? Yeah. So looking for stuff you wouldn't normally see and writing it down. And do you know, actually, I'll come to you in a sec. Do you know, actually, nowadays, experts in mental health, they know what Christians have learned for thousands of years, that actually when we slow down to be thankful, that's really good for our mental health. So those of you who struggle with like anger and anxiety and worry and all those kind of things, when you slow down to notice what you're thankful for and notice beauty around you, like that is like balm for your mental health. That's like giving yourself a lovely drink and a good rest when you say, hey, here's the things I've noticed today that are beautiful. Yes, you had something to say. Yeah, slowing down to notice other people and say something positive into their lives. Yeah, that's a great rule. Yes, Reuben. What are you going to get? What? You get it if you notice it. Okay, other members provide it. So there's a little element of competition for Slow Club. Okay. It's like we're taking it to a new level here. Okay, so we've thought, now, in the monastic tradition, some of you may have learned about this in school. In the monasteries, in medieval times, they used to have these ways of living, and they were called rules of life. And the monks and the nuns, would like live by rules like this, where they would say, I'm going to pray 5 times every day. So some traditions, it's 3 times. And they would say, well, I'm going to do manual work every day. I'm going to dig the ground every day to remind myself that I'm made from the dust of the earth. And so they would have these little things like, maybe I'm going to compliment someone today. And so these things are called a rule of life. And if you do these kind of life-giving tasks every day, it will change how you feel in the long run. Now, we've just done it for today, like some of that stuff. Imagine what would happen if you did that for a week, for a month. Imagine if you did that for your life, what your contribution to this earth would be. Incredible. Okay, now what I need, because my phone is in the box, I need to borrow someone's phone, with preferably an iPhone, obviously, because quality matters. Thanks, Kat. And I'm going to set a timer. Now, this is an activity that will be best done on your own. So you're going to need to, like, this is really important. And some people, just put your hands up if you have managed to find an object from nature. Okay, so pretty much everyone. But those of you, thank you so much for doing that. Those of you who didn't manage to do that or have left them somewhere else, you can share with someone else, okay? Just make sure you ask their permission. Listen. But this isn't a talking exercise, because it would be really easy for us to just chat our way through the next 5 minutes, because 5 minutes is not very long at all. But this is about us slowing down and saying, I'm just going to focus all of my attention. Like, do you know how powerful your attention is? Your brain is capable of filtering like millions of bits of information every single day and just telling you what's most important. And you make those decisions about thousands of bits of information every second. Like right now, I could be noticing what type of wallpaper there is, how many lights are in the room. I could be noticing how many books or how many shelves there are. I could be noticing what the carpet's like or what each one of you are wearing or how many people have got blonde hair in this room. But my brain is filtering out all of that information so that I can concentrate on what my brain is telling me is most important. Does that make sense? And you do that every single second. Your brain is that powerful and that incredible that you can shut out all of that stuff, all of those other bits of information and many more that I just mentioned, so that you can focus on what's the most important. And what we're saying is that for the next 5 minutes, the most important thing in your life for you to focus on is a pebble or a leaf or a branch that you found, or whatever it was that you found, okay? So try to shut out everything else in the world around you and just focus. Like, see if you can train your mind for 5 minutes on that one thing. And what do you notice about it that you might not normally see? And then I want you to, if you want to, you can make notes as you're going, or you can make some notes at the end and we'll have a bit of chance to talk about it. Is everyone cool with that? Yeah? Okay. So, 5 minutes of concentration. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Someone's calling my name. Yeah. Yeah, if we've got a suitable, like, nice, slow, meditative song, then we can. Okay? Because we're also thinking, and see if you can get a sense of the God who's behind that object. Okay? So, 5 minutes, starting. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, now, because we're so short on time, we're going to change around tomorrow a little bit. So your challenge was, can someone find Psalm 8 for me and then lend me their Bible just while I say this little bit? Okay, I've got a Bible at the front. Everyone else can listen. Okay, so what we're going to do tomorrow, instead of having a talk, okay, I'm just making this up right now because I feel like this is going to be a good idea. Instead of having a talk from me tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to have a poetry reading or a psalm reading from you guys. And so what I want you to do is I want you to write a psalm about the thing that you've just made or the stuff you're noticing, sorry, the thing that you've just been looking at, or the stuff you've been noticing in creation. And then I want you to write a psalm and then, like, show it to me during the day and we'll include, like, as many of the psalms that you guys write as we can. Like, our praises will be part of the talk tomorrow. Psalm 8. Oh, what is a psalm? Okay, so I'm going to read you an example of a psalm. But a psalm is basically, like, it's like a bit like poetry. It's a bit like some psalms are, like, really sad. Some psalms are really happy. They can be like prayers or poetry to God. And yeah, so I'll give you an example of one. If you want to know more about psalms and you're not so familiar with them, then come and speak to me or one of the leaders and we'll try and explain, okay? So hopefully after this you'll have a bit of a better idea about what a psalm is. So this is someone writing probably about three or four thousand years ago, okay, translated into English. So Psalm 8. And this is someone, imagine that this person has been looking at the thing that you've just been looking at, okay, whilst I read this. So maybe, like, look at the thing you've got in front of you. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is human beings that you are mindful of them? The sons and daughters of man, that you care for them? You have made us a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us ruler over the works of your hands. You've put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, you and I probably aren't going to write something quite like that because, you know, this guy was a professional. Okay, but let's try and write something to God about that object that we've got, okay? So that's a challenge, okay? And bring them to me over the next 24 hours, or actually about 12, because our talk's in the morning tomorrow or early afternoon, isn't it? So bring them to me pretty quick, okay? But I'm going to introduce you to our experiment, and then we're going to worship, and then you're going to have a chance to, like, respond if you want to be part of this experiment, okay? Here's your challenge, okay? It's going to be the top one. You can do some of the others if you've got time to write them down before we start. But your challenge is to set a timer like we've just done, and a timer for 20 minutes. And what I want you to do is spend 20 minutes eating an orange. Okay? Now, I know this sounds like you should be able to do it in like 2 or 3, right? But remember, we're going to slow down. You've just spent 5 minutes looking at a leaf or a rock, okay? So maybe spend the first few minutes having a look at the orange. What does it feel like in your hands? What does it smell like? Give it a smell. This one doesn't actually smell very, very orangey. It does smell a little bit orangey. You can grab one in a minute. Okay, just listen up. We're nearly done. We're nearly done. If you want to be part of this experiment in the worship, come down and grab one. And then maybe on your own or maybe in silence with a couple of friends tomorrow, set a timer for 20 minutes and take time. Take time to feel it, to smell it. What have you never noticed about oranges before? Because there will be stuff, because we never look at oranges, do we? We're like, oh, that's an orange. I don't need to look at it anymore because we like categorize them. It's an orange. What's there to see? But we've just seen beauty where we didn't expect it. Let's try and do this with an orange. Maybe you're going to like peel it really slowly. Maybe you're going to try and peel it all in one piece. Can you peel the skin off in one piece? And then if you don't like eating the pith, like, do you want to take the pith off and maybe break it apart into all the different segments? And then savor like you've never tasted an orange before. What does orange really taste like? Have you ever noticed what oranges really taste like? Like way better than Sunny D. Is that even still a thing? Yeah, it is, isn't it? So that's your challenge. And then I want you to like see what it feels like and write about it or share with a friend like what it was like. So if you're up for that experiment, it will only take 20 minutes of your time. Come and grab an orange whilst we're worshipping. But make sure this is something that you're like, I want to try and spot God's beauty where I've never seen it before. And I'm going to give this a go. Okay? So, thanks for listening. And let's just say these words together as we finish. Okay? Let's say all this together. This is like our rest mantra. Okay? Today I want to live with thankfulness. Be free of addiction. Take enough rest to enjoy life. Marvel at creation. Slow down to sense God. And do good to all around me. Amen. Thank you very much.